Tom McDonald's going to kick things off, and Melbourne star forward. He joins us. Where do we find you, Tom?
I'm in the backyard, boys. How are you guys going?
Pretty good, Tom.
We're going well. What's keeping you busy in the backyard there?
A few things. I put up a basketball ring about a month ago, and I broke it already, actually, but it still kind of works, so I can show you that. And then I've got a little bit of a home gym I've made up from the, you know, miscellaneous parts from the footy club, but here's the basketball ring. Cracked the side here already because someone airballed it, so I don't know who that
was. Would have been you. You're horrendous at basketball.
Probably was me.
Is that the right size? You've measured it all out?
That's official size, 10 foot.
Can you dunk?
Used to be able to. I haven't tried for a while. Probably not. I'm a bit heavy now.
The old used to be able to. Yes.
I think I still could. Just wouldn't be real good for the patella tendons anymore.
Yeah, right.
How's it going so far for you in isolation, Tom?
Look, it's been interesting. I'm probably kind of lucky. We just had a little girl who's about 10 weeks old. She's here in the background. We'll say hello to her. But, so that's keeping me busy and doing some training and that sort of thing. But, look, to be honest, it's not the best of situations. But here's Belle. Belle's having her bottle.
Oh, nice.
Being a good girl today.
How is she going? Good sleeper?
Good sleep. So last night in bed at 10 and woke up at 6, which we're very happy with.
You are blessed.
We'd say that at the moment. But, yeah, so honestly, the days go pretty quick because we've got her to play with. But, look, it would be nice to be playing footy again, but we're trying to make the best of the situation and spend as much time with her, which I think she's appreciating.
So I was trying to tell these boys before your love of cars, and Dermy is a big lover of cars. Can you explain the car that you've been doing up the last 12 to 18 months and where it's at?
Yeah, so I've got a 1967 Ford Mustang GT Fastback.
GT?
It's in the process of being restored. We've got most of it done mechanically, most of the body's ready. Now it's just got to be painted and then the interior and everything put back in, but funds will be on hold for a little while, so it might be pushed back a few months at the moment. I was hoping to have it done in the next couple of months, but I think we'll hold off and save a few dollars at the moment.
What's the colour, Tom? Is it original colour you're going for, or are you going to go funky on us?
No, original matching numbers cars. That's the only reason I bought it, because it was a bit, it wasn't in real great condition when I got it, and it's been a fair bit of work over 2 years, but it'll be Raven Black, which was the original colour, but we'll do a red interior instead of the black that it originally came with. We've got it just about running now, but still a fair bit of work and all the other stuff to get it done. I've done it with my cousin, Dean McDonald. He's got the car down Geelong in his garage, and he's done a lot of cars himself. So we've done it over the last 2 years all by ourselves so far. We'll have to outsource a little bit here at the end, but we're getting close. It'll be very exciting.
So the classic 65s are 289 cubic inches. What are the 67s?
This is a 390, so I got the big block.
What are you talking? What does that mean? Is that the engine size? Is it?
Yes.
Motor size. Yeah.
Hey, Louis, you and I will just go for a wander, and Derm and Tom can talk to each other for the next half hour.
So you've Louis explains to me, you've done it like incrementally. If you get a few spare bob, somehow, we pull together a bit of money, you do a bid on it, you throw it at the car, and it might lay there idle for a little while until you get some more. Like right now, it might lay idle until...
Essentially, when we bought it, we thought, let's just get it running and we'll drive it as kind of a barn. I don't know, it's called a barn find, I guess, when they're, rusted but still drivable and get it roadworthy. But then we kind of thought it's such a nice classic car that, it wouldn't be doing service to that type of car. So we've done it bit by bit. As I said, it's taken 2 years to get where it is now. And that's just been on a day off. If I got 4 hours, drive down there, or on a weekend after a game, on a Sunday if we played on a Saturday. And just done it bit by bit. Dino's the expert. I knew nothing. I don't know a whole lot now still about cars, but it's been a fun project. Probably been a lot more work than we expected it to be at the start, but it's been worth it a bit to learn how it's all done.
Absolutely. Louis?
So to change pace a little bit, I'm just... enough car questions for me. I got no idea what he's talking about. In terms of training, I was just thinking training. So when you finish the season, you have a couple of weeks off and then you start back your pre-season campaign. What sort of program have they set you? Is it a couple of weeks off, or you're just trying to maintain your training and fitness capacity at the moment?
So what we've been given is we get it the day before we're going to run, because we're going day by day at the moment. What it is, we're trying to structure the week kind of like a game week. So a lighter running session on the Monday. Wednesday would be pretty solid, like our main training session. Today was pretty light, and then tomorrow is meant to be a massive one. So we got a warning that tomorrow is going to be pretty solid, more like a game sort of intensity. So it's not like the old off-season where it's sort of three running sessions a week and they're all just hard and long. This is sort of a lot more footy work in it, a lot more speed and change of direction and maybe a little bit less volume except for a Saturday running session. So we'll just do that until told otherwise. You know, hopefully we train back as a group or even in small groups soon. But at the moment, we can only train one-on-one with one other player to do some kick-to-kick. So at the moment, I've got Ruby coming down and she's kicking the ball back out to me, which I'm chasing a fair few, doing a fair few ground balls.
You probably, she'd probably show up some of the other players.
Yeah. No, she's actually would be better than probably like Clayton Oliver at the moment. So
didn't mean to name names.
No, I definitely will name names. I'll go after them. So they need to know.
So who's
I'm going to try and mark their kicks.
Who's your one-on-one then, Tom?
No, we're just keeping it literally with Ruby. I don't want to... Okay. We don't want to risk it with anyone in the short term. Ruby's got elderly grandparents who we have to, you know, look after kind of by delivering some food and stuff. So the risk for us isn't worth it. And, you know, I know that babies seem relatively safe, but we don't want to take any risks. So we're just by ourselves at home, getting every bit of food delivered from Woolworths or our IGA next door and take stuff over our grandparents. So we're, in the short term, just not taking any risks with that sort of stuff at the moment.
I think that's a sensible stance to take, especially with the youngster there, mate. Hey, can I ask you a personal question? Having a sibling, having a brother who plays at the club, and I think the whole world we would admit that you are regarded as a better player than him. And he's played some very good games and he's played some average games. He cops a bit of a hit. How do you, as big brother who wants to put his arms around him, how do you deal with some of the flack that a brother gets from playing league football?
Yeah, maybe earlier on you're probably a bit more sensitive to it, but look, I'm not too worried about Oscar. Like, he knows how to look after himself. He's doing pretty well in life. Like, I think he got 99.8 enter score at school. He's studying bioscience. Like, Oscar's not someone I've really got to worry about. I think he's going to have a lot more long-term success than I do in his life. So, to be honest, his last three games, the two preseason games in round one, he's been really strong. I don't think there's anyone who could say that he hasn't deserved his spot so far. He's, the two key forwards didn't kick a goal for West Coast on the weekend. So I think he's playing well. So,
and he's a good golfer?
I tell you what, bioscience, not a bad thing to be studying just at the moment.
Yeah. He's good with the clubs, isn't he?
Yes, very good. He's currently off, I think he's off half a stroke, maybe off one at the moment. He hadn't played as much, but regularly shoots under. So, he probably could have gone pro golf if he really wanted to, but I think he just enjoys that at the moment.
It's a bit of talent there.
Well, he's the best golfer that I've played with from football backgrounds.
Yeah, right.
And good tennis player too.
Playing, was it you playing with him at Woodlands one day? And you? No,
that would have been Hibbo.
Hibbo and... a couple of the other boys, and I saw where most of the guys drive to, and Oscar walked another 50 or 60 further on, and I thought, nah, that's got to be his second shot. Yeah. No one drives to there.
Yeah, so Tom has one sport over him, and the rest of the sports are dominated by Oscar.
How's that
two sports, basketball. Give me that.
Having a look at that backboard, mate, I'm not so sure.
Hey, Tom.
Tell
us about the My Home Ground campaign that the Players Association have kicked off and you're involved with here. Pretty similar to what we're doing right now.
Yeah, well, essentially we just want to spread the word that the safest thing to do is be home as much as possible. Find creative ways to make it fun, learn a new skill. Like, we're, as players at Melbourne, we're currently looking at organising some group projects over Zoom, where we research companies or something like that and report back to each other or learn a new skill. So Gorney reckons he's going to do Italian. One of the boys said maybe master English first. Yeah. So for him, it might be English first. But, you know, thinking of some different ways to at least stay engaged and then stay fit. So, you know, I've got the little home gym here set up. We haven't got much, but, you know, show them what you could do maybe fitness-wise for people who are stuck at home and just encouraging everyone to do that. And the faster we get on top of this by staying away from each other, the faster we can get back to footy and everyone can get back to jobs and normal life. So that's essentially the scheme.
Yeah, great. And then you're going to pass it on to the next player and so it'll go. How about some of the players that can't kick on their wrong foot could learn how to kick on the other side of their body, Louis? What do you reckon?
Well, that's probably 80% of the AFL.
It is.
Right now.
I mean, the best player in the AFL can't kick on his left foot, Dusty Martin.
I was about to say Dangerfield. Dangerfield kicked a
87-metre
goal the
he
other day.
He kicked a bomb last
Saturday. You're right,
night.
But I mean, clubs are trying to think of ways to keep players active and engaged, and there's all these tools online to do that. But certainly, you know, researching companies or whatever it may be, to so kids don't just sit there at home on their PlayStation and just forget about the world.
A couple of other sites you want to keep them off as well. Things could go very haywire there, Louis.
Oh, no, I'm not commenting.
Okay, we might move on.
Is that Tom
Harpen? We won't comment on that.
Yeah. Tom, thanks for joining us. It's hard going for so many people out there. I think the fans are enjoying touching base with the players and seeing what they're doing, and it's a shared experience largely around the country and around the world right now. It's just still hard to come to terms with, but really appreciate the access. And
thanks, Tom.
Good luck with it all.
No worries. Thanks, Jens.
Good on you, mate.
And